Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, usually at 8 o'clock, sometimes 6:30, sometimes 9:30 or 10 or 11, but it's on the button every night. And this show usually has a number of topics that we handle: literary, literature, English, American, and Russian literature, such as Tolstoy or Milton, for example. Or we also handle political issues. I'm generally conservative, but I have a concern for people, underclass people in poverty as a Christian. I'm not changing that position. It could be called left-wing, but I think it's something I adhere to. And I also am concerned with theology and philosophy and biblical revelation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I talk about various things in this show, and I'll give a little bit of my background as a person a little later on. But I'm going to talk about the issue of suffering and pain and try to explain why there is suffering in the world and the reason for it, and seek an explanation of what is inexplicable. We all human beings know that we will all suffer and endure pain, whether physical or emotional. We, all of us, throughout our lives at various times, from birth to death, have endured suffering and pain. It's an ever-present reality. We come to this life in pain, in the process of living and then dying. We are inflicted with pain and suffering. Now, the thing is that sometimes there are various types of pain and suffering. Some we cannot escape. Though pain and suffering comes upon us as through agencies beyond our control, such as disease, illness, or natural disasters, earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, hurricanes, or pestilence. That's one source of pain and suffering. It's involuntary. It comes upon us when agencies beyond our control, such as disease, illness, or natural disaster. And much pain comes upon us through the actions of other people. That would be war, crimes, the cruelty of our spouse, and this type of thing. The fact of the matter is that our fellow human beings, if given power over us, will often cause us pain and suffering. It is only men that have invented the whip, the rack, and the hangman's noose and the electric chair. So, we have pain and suffering comes upon through natural diseases, disasters such as disease, illness, volcanoes, tornadoes, and it comes upon us, pain and suffering, through the actions of human beings and agencies. And these human beings create wars and crime and all kinds of things to hurt other people. The fact is that our human beings, given power over us, will often cause us pain and suffering. So I'm going to try to explain why the reason for pain and suffering. There is a reality of pain and suffering, which is involuntary through agencies of tornadoes or hurricanes or whatever, or what we other people do to each other, wars and crime. But I'm going to try to explain in this little essay about what is the meaning of pain, why we have to suffer, what is the meaning of it. I have really endured little or no physical pain in my life. I'm hardly in a position to comment or speak on it. I've never known the pain of the terminally ill cancer patient. So we're kind of weak in this area. However, let me explain the pain that that has come upon us, the involuntary pain of tornadoes and hurricanes, etc. This pain is thought to result from the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, in which through our pride, though we be as gods, and we were brought down into death to endure death and sin, and with the result that pain and suffering came into the world that formerly knew nothing of pain, whether the pain of a natural disaster or childbirth or whatever. And this involuntary infliction of pain, death, of course, and all kinds of involuntary suffering, this results from the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, that we Christians believe that human beings, that this involuntary pain came into the world, and all these forms of pain and suffering came into the world through the fall of man into sin. So, having to some extent explained the involuntary presence of pain, it still rings hollow, because why would a merciful and compassionate God, whose love is so great that it didn't stop at the cross, why would he allow this? I think there's a reason for it. We have to try to understand the reason for why we have pain. As I said, it came about essentially through the fall of man into sin, where he was brought down from his relationship with his Creator, and as a result, pain and suffering and death came into the world. But again, we have to ask, why does God allow this pain? Why does it happen? I think there's a reason for it. First reason is, if we don't suffer and experience some pain in the course of our earthly lives, we don't grow and develop as human beings. It is only through suffering that we can develop compassion for those around us, for their difficulties and sufferings, so that there is some chance we would not be able to grasp other people's suffering. I think it's a sure thing that if we don't suffer and have pain in our lives, we will have no compassion for those around us, for their tribulation, for their sufferings. We wouldn't be able to grasp it. Or maybe more exactly, we would not grow and be able to love absent pain and suffering. Without suffering and pain, we wouldn't be able to experience love, I don't think. Without suffering and pain, we remain selfish and egocentric. We will never fully understand the suffering and pain of our fellow human beings. So pain is a tool of God that enable us to grow in love, understanding, and compassion. So you have to understand that if we don't have pain in our lives, we will not grow and develop as persons. More exactly, suffering allows us to develop compassion for those around us, for their tribulations and for their sufferings. I think it's a sure thing that, second thing is, we are able to grasp other people's suffering. If we ourselves have pain and suffering, we grow in compassion. And second, I don't think without pain and suffering we were able to love or be able to grow in love without pain and suffering. Without pain and suffering, we remain selfish and egocentric, and we will never fully understand and have compassion for the suffering and pain of our fellow beings. We will never be able to grow in love. So, now the second point is that Christ took pain and suffering upon himself. That is the action of God in the world. He is the model of the new man in dove. He took pain and suffering upon himself when he chose to lower himself, to take on human form. He had no wealth or power in this earthly life and chose to be a carpenter, a working man. He died an awful, slow, agonizing death. And he did all of this out of love for past, present, and future generations who did not know him at all, and perhaps did not and do not love him and have rejected him. So we have to understand, this is very important, that Christ, the model of the new man or woman, or the image of the new creation, took pain and suffering on himself. He came from eternity in heaven to lower himself, to take on human form. He had no wealth or power in this earthly life, but chose to be a carpenter or a working man and died a slow, agonizing death. And he did all of this out of love for all generations. So, I think we now, all of us, are beginning to understand the reason for pain and suffering, that is, the fall of man in the Garden of Eden brought it about, and that it is a tool that God uses so that we can grow in love and compassion. Without pain and suffering, we do not grow as persons. I don't think so. And Christ himself came down and endured suffering and pain as the new human being that he was and chose to be. Pain, I think this is as much as I want to say about this, and it's, you'll find my analysis of pain and suffering in chapter 13 of my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview. I think you'll find it insightful, I would hope. And I want to say one thing, a little bit about my background, so that you understand where I'm coming from in this show. And my background is that this is a politically incorrect show. We're not out for media hype, media falsehoods, or political rhetoric, or political lies. We're out to get at the facts and the truth. And we're out to, through honest discourse and honest thinking and intellectual honesty, to get at the facts and the truth. Second thing, I'm a Christian. I'm not changing that position. I have been a Christian since my baptism in 1948 and my confirmation in the Methodist Church at the age of 12. And I have been a Christian, and I attended Sunday school, and I've been brought up as a Christian. I'm not about to abandon that position. I think it's the true faith, although I welcome all faiths. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome all faiths, ideas, and opinion. I reject no one, and I want a dialogue with all forms of thought that are presented to me in this world, because I know that the face of the love of Jesus is found in every place, in every person, in every thought. Jesus and his love is found and presented to us. I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. I adhere to the creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed. And if I read a book, I'll read the great Christian books such as John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, Milton's Paradise Lost. Milton's Paradise Lost is one of the greatest books that I can think of. He wrote this while he was blind, just like he already Paradise Regained when he was blind, and Samson Agonistes while he was blind. That was the power of his great intellect to write those books. And the Paradise Lost starts in an analysis that the cosmic fall of man was a critical event in human history. He was right. It was. And he knew he was looking at the truth when he presented this in Paradise Lost. I read other Christian books such as St. Augustine, Paul's epistles. St. Paul was one of the great religious thinkers of all time. To read his epistles in the canon of the New Testament is to raise yourself immeasurably and significantly. I also have read C.S. Lewis and G.K. Chesterton and Bonhoeffer and Calvin and Luther and Aquinas and T.S. Eliot and many others. Great Christian writers of the world. Those are what I read. I do not read the New York Times and New York Post. I don't wish to waste my puny intellect on those lies and nonsense that are inflicted upon me in these daily newspapers. They're a waste of time. They're a waste of my time. They're a waste of my thinking, because they don't present any thinking. They present political rhetoric. Next, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. Both have a Christian orientation, but I welcome all guests from all over the world, everybody, all faiths, all nations, all ideas, all opinions. And they have a Christian orientation, but as I say, I welcome all in every way and wish to dialogue with all forms of thought and opinions if I can do it. That's what I'm interested in, relationships, dialogues, thoughts, and sharing thoughts and ideas and relationships so that I can grow and the other person can grow. There is no growth without thought. Absent thought, there is no growth. So we live in a society today where people don't think or don't want to talk or don't want to say anything. They're making a mistake. They're ruining their lives and they're ruining the society. Over 4,400 people have visited my podcast, and even from China and Muslim countries, which I'm very happy that our Muslim brothers and sisters are so frequently visiting my radio shows. And I've also written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The Christian books are essays in the Christian worldview, essays in faith, culture, politics, and philosophy. A book on the parables. The parables are the words of Christ and the mind of Christ, and they bear very careful thought and analysis, extremely careful. Anything that Jesus says challenges us immeasurably to think, because his thinking is the thinking of the mind of God. I also have written a book on the Psalms. The Psalms of are wonderful lyric poetry. They're Hebrew lyric poetry. I read them in seminary. I have an MDiv degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I've functioned as a pastor in the past. And I have to say that the Psalms are inspiring. They stir my mind. They raise my consciousness. And as John Donne, the great Anglican poet, said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. They are the inspiration for critical, intellectual, religious thinking. They're wonderful, and I can't stop reading them because they have so much to offer in terms of what they say and present. Then I've also, I'm preparing other books, 3 blog books of my blogs, literary and religious and political blogs. I'm preparing 3 blog books, which will soon come out, and I'm also preparing a book on the miracles of the Bible, partially completed, and I will be preparing a book on the book of Job, a wonderful book. Job was an Edomite, not a Hebrew person, not Jewish, but it presents God's, to see to explain why God sent these trials upon this Edomite. Job is inspired or connected with Greek tragedy in many ways in his presentation. I'm also writing a book, a law book, on New York State criminal law hearings, and that book will be very long, and it's partially completed, and I'm on the route in that book, as well as many others. I have written 3 very significant articles, a Syracuse Law Review, which is bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department, and 2 Academicus articles by Academicus, scientific articles of the Albanian scientific journal Academicus, which has also been bought by the State Department. And these 3 journals have been bought by many, many universities worldwide, all over the world, everywhere, North America and Africa and Asia and America and Europe. Well, tomorrow night I'm going to talk again about suffering and pain. I hope I've given some ideas about why we have suffering and pain in the world and the reason for it. I went into a lot of aspects of this, and I've sought to present to you my thoughts on this issue of the reality and why we must suffer. This is a world of suffering and pain. The sooner you know that, ladies and gentlemen, the sooner you have attained into wisdom. And I am trying to explain why this is. One reason is the fall of man into sin. The second reason is involuntary pain, which we can't control, and the pain inflicted by our fellow human beings. And I gave you some reasons for pain. God uses it as a tool so we can develop compassion for the suffering and difficulties of other people, as well as develop our capacity to love other people and other beings surrounding us. These are the reasons for suffering and pain. They enable us to grow. God uses it as a tool to develop our compassion for our suffering of our fellow human beings, and also he uses it as a tool so we can grow in love. We will never fully be able to love without pain and suffering preceding it. I hope you've enjoyed this show, and I will be talking again tomorrow night.